Hello, dear friends. I hope you recognize that theme song, because if you do, you know what time it is. It's time for Let's Talk About Jesus with Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. Now, I want to say it again. I'm so glad to be with you today, right here on WMAF, reaching North Florida, South Georgia, and wherever else the wind carries the waves of that station. Praise God. And if you're listening by computer today, as WMAF streams all over the United States, potentially anywhere in the world that anyone is connected to the World Wide Web, we welcome you today. And we pray that you gather with us around the Word of God and let us hear what the Spirit says to the church. You know, Jesus said, "My words are spirit and they are life." Praise God. So we want to get into something today that touches us deeply in our spirit and begins to bring that resurrection life forth into manifestation in every child of God today. We have a great subject. We're talking about heaven, the home of the redeemed. And it's not just about where we're going to go when we leave this earth. It's about how we're going to live until we do go. Because if you're not heavenly minded, I know most of you have heard the cliche that someone was so heavenly minded that they were no earthly good. That would be true if someone sits upon a mountain somewhere and ponders the world to come at the expense of taking care of their family and serving God and witnessing to others and being a blessing to those who they can be a blessing to. But the problem is today, not so much that some Christians are so heavenly minded they are no earthly good, but there are so many Christians that are not heavenly minded at all. We are so consumed with the temporal and the physical and the material that we are not involved in the spiritual and the eternal. And I'm going to tell you, in this very last day, there is a warning from Christ Himself in the New Testament. He says, "Beware, lest your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, the cares of this life, that day come upon you as a thief, for as a snare it shall come upon all the inhabitants of the earth." We need to be ready for the soon coming of Jesus Christ, and we need to be focused on our holy heavenly homeland where we're going to live forever, that we might be about our Father's business here on earth. Praise God. Amen. So we want to help you lift up your head and lift up your eyes today by going to the Scripture and studying about the homeland of the redeemed, the place that Christ has personally prepared for you and I to live with Him forever. Praise God. Amen. And it's not going to stay high in the heavens. It's going to come down from the heavens. That holy city is going to rest right here upon a replenished and purged earth, purged from unrighteousness. So, friend, there's so much to study, so much to get a hold of, but I just pray that we will get our hearts set on things above and not the things beneath, so that we can be heavenly minded enough to be of earthly good to God and be about our Father's business. Well, I've said a mouthful and we haven't even fully got started yet. If you're not a Christian today, please stay tuned to this broadcast, because the hope of heaven can be yours. You can know what is going to happen when you draw your last breath here on earth. You can know where you're going to spend eternity, and you can be consoled by that knowledge. Not only can you be comforted by it, you can be excited by it. Hallelujah. You can know Jesus before this broadcast is over, and your eternal destiny can change. Hallelujah. Praise God. And there's a joy in this, and we want to get a hold of it, because there's a lot of pressure and a lot of anguish to overcome in this fallen world, in these faulty bodies. So we want to talk to you out of Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 17. If you're listening by computer, we are so glad that you are today as WMAF streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So that station right there in Madison has the potential of reaching anywhere in America, anywhere in North America, South America, anywhere in the world, literally. And we just got an email from someone who listened to a Let's Talk About Jesus broadcast downloaded from our website from Indonesia, where the volcanic eruptions have been occurring recently, and people had to literally leave their homes and run for their lives and be evacuated. And one of those Christians who God preserved through this time of great trouble in Indonesia because of volcanic eruption comes to our website and commented about the peace and the understanding of Scripture that had given her faith and peace and joy. And someone now that's going through test and trial has found through the Word of God the encouragement and the courage that God will take us through everything that we face if we keep our eyes on Him. So we're so grateful for the gospel blessing in Indonesia. So that's why that we just ask you to pray today for this outreach and for this station, that God will continue to use the airways to bring the good news of Jesus to all who will hear it. Praise God. And I can recommend WMAF because it's family friendly, and there are those that listen right here in Tampa, Florida to WMAF. We don't have a station like that here. We can't pull in a station from Orlando or any of the large surrounding areas, but there in Madison, you have a station with classic country music, classic gospel music, and preaching, not just our ministry, but others right in your hometown, right in Madison, churches that use the Bible and the Word of God as the basis for the sermons that they are given. And I'm telling you, the Word of God will bless you. And so we just encourage you to get out on Sunday, go to church where the Word of God is preached, right there in Madison or wherever this broadcast is finding you. Amen. And get out and worship God and get under the Word of God and get the good news. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, we've got good news to bring today from Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 17. Heaven is going to be our homeland, and it is so important that we get the proper perspective about what heaven is all about. Just before I read from the scriptures today, I want to read a statement that I really can confirm. It said heaven, in the minds of some, is an unearthly place where bed-sheeted, paper-winged spirits sit on clouds and pluck out tinkly tunes on harps till their pipe cleaner halos fall off. Ain't it the truth? Some depictions of heaven is some robed spiritual being sitting on a cloud, plinking on a harp. But in Scripture, it is a city, a literal city, with boys and girls playing in its streets. It's a city whose public works department uses precious jewels for cinder blocks and pearls as big as boulders for its gates. It's a city with trees and a river flowing through it. It is a city, literal city, that is filled with the glory of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. When a Christian dies in the sense of leaving this body and ascending to that place, it is not an end. It's a new beginning. Actually, it's a continuance on a higher level. Someone said death is not a period. It's only a comma in the life of a Christian. Praise God. So in the Bible goes on to speak of our citizenship, our conversation being in heaven, which is literally translated, our citizenship is in heaven. So in that sense, we are not citizens of earth on our way to heaven. We are citizens of heaven on our way home. Praise God. Amen. That's why being heavenly minded is so vitally important. You know, the Bible said to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Amen. And the Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, if you be risen with Christ, if you've been born again, quickened by the Spirit, amen, raised from the dead in the sense of our separation from God because of sin, if we have been raised unto life, seek those things above. Seek those things above where Christ sits on the right hand of God and set your affections on things above. I believe, friend, that we need more Christians that are heavenly minded so that we can begin to focus on the world to come instead of the world that is passing away. You know, did you know this world is passing away? It's not going to last as it is forever. We need our focus on that will outlast this world, a body that will outlast this body, amen, a city that is eternal, praise God, where death can't enter and the rust can't corrupt, praise God. In order to do that, we need to be heavenly minded in order to be of true earthly good. Now the question is whether we see ourselves as citizens of heaven or citizens of earth. How do you see yourself today as a Christian? Sadly, as I've said before, many Christians and churches are not focused on heaven. All too often our focus is on just this life, becoming prosperous, striving for success. Nothing wrong with these ambitions in and of themselves unless we lose our focus on where we're going to spend eternity. Pursuing comfort, trying to fix our lives. I'm not implying these things aren't important, as I said, and that we don't need to think about them. But when they become our focus, we are focusing on the wrong things. As Christians, the hope of heaven should define our lives here on earth. After all, we are here and now the sons of God and the citizens of heaven. This is our eternal home and destiny. We will spend eternity there. And that thought ought to excite us here and now, this very day. Praise God. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 through 17, our text once again says, "And I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces, and worshiping God, saying, Amen. Blessing, and glory, and wisdom, thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? Whence came they? And I said unto them, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation. We stipulated last time, not the great tribulation, not that time of Jacob's trouble, that day of the Lord, that 7-day period of intense judgments upon the earth. But every Christian out of every generation has felt the pressure and the back pressure of living for God in a planet that is flowing away from Him. Amen. But these are they that made it through it, hallelujah, with God's help and grace, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And listen to this, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. You want to know where God is going to be in relation to us when we get to heaven? He's going to dwell among us. We're going to be up close and personal with him. That's what Jesus was talking about in John 14. He didn't talk about the place as much as he talked about the relationship that we're going to have with one another when we get there. Amen. It wasn't all about the house that we're going to live in. It's about the ability to interact with Christ himself in a fellowship relationship that no sin, nothing is going to keep us from that full relationship with God and his Son and our Savior. Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I love this verse of Scripture we're reading right now, because it's telling us that when we get to heaven, God will not be sitting aloof on a throne far above us, but he shall dwell among them. Hallelujah! And they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them to living fountains of waters, and God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And God will wipe away all the tears from their eyes. Last week we talked about the grace and the mercy that we're going to appreciate there like we could never appreciate it here. It's not that we don't appreciate it, but when we get to heaven and we realize when in this holy place among these holy ones that we in and of ourselves could never attain to the purity and the righteousness and the holiness required to live in that place, but yet we are invited and graciously accepted in the Beloved. We are invited to live in this place with these holy ones because of what Jesus has done at the cross. Hallelujah. Praise God. Simply defined, someone said grace means that God does not give us, or God does give us what we don't deserve, and that's why we're going to heaven. And mercy is that God doesn't give us what we do deserve. You see, friend, we paid nothing for God's eternal love, and nothing for the Son of his love, and nothing for his Spirit, and our grace and faith, nothing for our eternal rest. What an astonishing thought it will be to think of the immeasurable difference between our deservings and our receivings. Oh, how free was all this love, and how free is this enjoyed glory. So let deserved be written, someone said, on the floor of hell, but on the door of heaven and life, the free gift. Praise God. Thank God that I'm not going to get what I do deserve. And thank God I'm going to get what I don't deserve. Mercy and grace, hallelujah, is going to allow me and you, if you've trusted Christ, to enjoy every blessing, every minute of not only the holy city, but the holy ones, God the Father, God the Son. We can actually dwell and in in the midst of their presence, and they will dwell with us. Hallelujah. I've often said in services, when you get to heaven, do you just want to praise God? Or do you just want to thank Jesus in praiseful songs? Or do you want to hug Him and kiss His cheek and bow at His feet? Oh, friend, I'm going to tell you, I can't wait to get to heaven, to look into the eyes of the one that loved me this much, that He would lay down His life for me. I've got a daughter in heaven. Amen. Heaven isn't a state of mind. God is not speaking metaphorically when He talks about golden gates and, pearly gates and golden streets. There's a river flowing through that city called the River of Life. There are trees on either side of the river called the Trees of Life. Praise God. Amen. It is a place filled with people. That's one of the joys of heaven. I'm so glad that I'll see my dad again, my mother again. All my aunts and uncles are there, and some of them I led to Christ. I led my grandpa to Christ before he passed away. I led my grandmother to the Lord before she passed away. I led my uncle to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I baptized one of my uncles that came all the way from Kentucky to Tampa to be baptized in water just before he went to be with the Lord. My family, almost all of my family, is with the Lord. Ah, but one day when I get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that surely will be, because the circle will not be unbroken anymore or ever again. Praise God. So it's not just about the city. It's about the fact that God is going to wipe away every tear. And I believe that it's every memory that would cause us pain. And not only that, but everything that could ever cause pain, heartache, heartbreak here on the earth. None of those things will occur in this homeland for the redeemed. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a story about this mercy and grace that we're going to appreciate like we could never appreciate fully until we get home. A man dies in this story and goes to heaven. And this is just a story, but it can illustrate a great truth biblically. Of course, St. Peter meets him at the pearly gates, as most of these stories go. And this is not biblical, but listen with me. St. Peter says, here's how it works. You need 100 points to make it to heaven. You tell me all the good things you've done, and I'll give you a certain number of points for each of them, depending on how good it was. When you reach 100 points, you get in. Okay. The man says, I was married to the same woman for 50 years and never cheated on her, not even in my heart. That's wonderful, says St. Peter. That's worth 3 points. 3 points, he says. Well, I attended church all my life and supported its ministry with my tithe and service. Terrific, says St. Peter. That's certainly worth a point. 1 point? Golly! How about this? I started a soup kitchen in my city and worked in a shelter for homeless veterans. Fantastic! That's good for 2 more points. 2 points, the man cries. At this rate, the only way I get to heaven is by the grace of God. And St. Peter said, come on in. Praise God. Amen. Friend, I want you to know, grace is written on the door of heaven. Forgiveness is written on the door of heaven. And because of the grace of God, that door will swing open wide when we who have trusted Christ as our Savior leave this present world. Praise God. And the Bible said that the sun isn't going to burn us anymore. What he's saying is that we'll be on the other side of our struggles. Friend of mine, it sure seems like to me that the struggle, and maybe it's because of my age and stage of life, but it seems to me that the struggle is greater now and become more intense lately. Everywhere I turn, there are people going through very difficult times. In my own life, it's sometimes a real effort to just have that energy I once had. And I'm not talking about just because I'm aging physically, but there's a spiritual, I want to say a weariness that seems to set in sometimes. And that's why I go back to the Word and back to my knees and back to my God for strength. And that is why this passage is such an encouragement to me. It reminds me that the struggle will not go on forever, even though sometimes it seems like it will never end. In our passage, God asks who these white-robed people are. He is told these are they who have come out of great tribulation. These are the ones who have survived the trials of life. These are the ones who have remained faithful, even though life was painful and hard. These are the believers who have kept the faith. This picture gives us strength. It keeps us focused and will help keep us going on. It is tough to keep running if you don't see a purpose, if you don't see what's waiting for you at the end of the race. In fact, I've heard that one of the most devastating punishments in a concentration camp is when the captors make their prisoners do meaningless labor. They might have them move a pile of rock from one spot to the next and then back. It is labor without a purpose, and eventually it eats away at a person's willingness to go on. Oh, friend, have you ever wondered why people run in marathons? I have. Most know that they have no chance of winning. During the race, they encounter cramps, they battle exhaustion, and at times dehydration. They spend months punishing themselves and depriving themselves in preparation for this long, exhausting journey. Why? Most tell me that is because of the joy and satisfaction that comes when you cross that finish line. It's not the winning, it's the surviving and the conquering. It's the overcoming that brings the joy. This description doesn't inspire me to take up running, but it does help me to understand what it will be like in heaven. We run now for the glory of finishing the course. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4 through 6 through 8, "For I am now ready to be offered up, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight, and I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but all them that love his appearing." Ah, friend of mine, I'm inspired today to run with patience, perseverance, and purpose the race that is set before me. Because I know when I cross that finish line that I'm going to move from the temporal to the eternal, from the material to the spiritual, and that's where I'm going to live forever and ever. Friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ today, if you don't know that if you died before this broadcast actually ends, that you took your last breath here, that you would take your next breath in heaven, I want to invite you right now. Our time is moving so quickly, quicker than we realize. You will wake up one morning, even if you are very young right now. You will look in the mirror, and an elderly man will look back at you, and you will wonder, where did all those years go? Ah, but when you look past this temporal world, and you see eternity coming, and you know that you're saved, that your sins are forgiven, and that you're already considered a citizen of that eternal city, you can live every moment of this fleeting life in confidence and consolation, accept Jesus as your Savior. Make heaven your homeland. And live with courage and purpose here upon the earth. And if you're a Christian, run with me. Let's run. Not stumble along and stagger, but run with patience the race that is set before us. We love you. Come back next week and let's talk about Jesus.